Jim Metzner, producer and host of the Pulse of the Planet radio series heard right here on WAMC, joins us this morning to tell us about his new novel of historical fantasy. It is titled Sacred Mounds. Cyclonic hordes of insects, a telepathic despot, body-swapping sex, just a few of the surprises that Salvador Samuels encounters when he is swept back to pre-colonial times, walking in the moccasins of a blind Indian who in turn has been transported into Salvador's body in present-day America. I could go on, but I think I would rather have Jim do that. It weaves the stories of these two men, each a stranger in a strange land, with the help of two remarkable women. And Jim Metzner joins us now to tell us about the book and tell us how things are going. Jim Metzner, a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you for being here.
Hi, Joe. It's a pleasure to be here with you, and just a high five to the whole WAMC tribe, yourself, Alan, Ray, Sarah, Lucas, all of you. Just a thank you for, on behalf of all the listeners for your service.
Well, very nice. Thank you very much. That means a lot to us. This is fascinating. You wrote me about this several months ago, and it was that it was coming out, and now it is out. And it's very exciting that this book came to be. How long has this been in you, as it were?
Good question. The mounds have been buried in me for decades, and there was a great adventure in putting the book together, lots of research involved, and including going down, seeing many mound sites, including the ones that are alluded to in the book, and becoming friends with the principal chief of the Na'Chi Nation. We were looking at it, it looks like it's said, pronounced Natchez, as in Natchez, Mississippi, where this mound site was, but they call themselves the Na'Chi. And the principal chief has written the foreword to my book.
And so talk about that dynamic and that friendship and that collaboration and why it was important to you and how it ultimately brought the story to be.
Well, there's a lot to learn, and I was grateful not only for the foreword but for the validation that the book about Native Americans in part could be written by a non-Native American, i.e. me, and still have validity. And other First Nations folk have also responded very favorably to the book. But Hutke Fields, the principal chief, vetted the book and helped me with a number of things, not the least of which, you know, there's both an audio and a print book. And when I'm doing the audio book, I better get the Na'Chi words right. And Hutke made very clear when I got it wrong. So just a quick one. Jean Kololo is hello in Na'Chi.
So when you took on this project and decided is this somehow related to the day job that it came out of this and something that you wanted to mm-hmm. explore, or was this always I like many other people am dying to write a novel and this is what I would like it to be?
Well, it's a good question. They interweave, but it's more of the latter. You know, this idea, here are these mounds. First of all, Joe, there used to be tens of thousands of them. Like, I don't know what the metaphor would be, but if you look at a map, you'll just see it, particularly the East Coast from way south all the way up through the Ohio Valley, following river valleys mostly. Thousands, tens of thousands of these mound sites. And what were they? And they were a big thing for a while when they were first kind of discovered, but often plowed over, bulldozed, forgotten. But when the ones that remained, people didn't know where they come. They couldn't believe that Native Americans had made them. Maybe there were, you know, it was all over the map as to what the origin was. Some are burial mounds. Some are ceremonial, but we still don't know what was going on during the ceremony. As far as the ceremonial part, there's no written record, except for what the priests on some of the expeditions of people like De Soto had priests with them, and they took good notes. And so a lot of the material that I got was from them. But this metaphor of an ancient buried unknown place, very likely to be the first places where some form of spiritual practice was done in our hemisphere. That, I thought, what a juicy metaphor, you know? And so that's what fueled my interest in the book. And then going down and discovering the Nazi culture was every bit as extraordinary as any fiction that I could come up with. Amazing stuff in the book. It's all real. That just is from who the Nazi were and how they lived and their culture. Remarkable.
Did you set parameters for yourself as to what you were going to say? Okay, as far as Nazi culture, this I'm going to write about this, and this is going to be accurate to the best of my abilities. And then this is when I am going to let the fictional Jim take over.
the fictional Jim. Well, you know, I don't know if it was ever as conscious of that, but there were certain things that really wanted to come out that had, frankly, nothing to do with Nazi culture, but I thought were really, well,
cool.
Really good ideas. One of them. Sorry, pat on the back there. But one idea was the thought of names are important, and all throughout Native American lore, names are not casually given. You know, we've seen that all from, you know, Dances with Wolves on down, even though right. That was fictitious. But the idea of becoming your name was something that kind of came to me in the writing of the book. So, for example, there's a character named Tell Me a Story. Great name. And she, as she grew up, became her name as someone who famously became a story gatherer, a story carrier, and someone who was there to receive and tell the stories of her people. And the idea of becoming your name became one of the themes of the book, with the idea behind that being that you become yourself, that each of us are obliged only to become our name. Especially if it's a heavy name, like Tell Me a Story, or a less casual name, like Little Walnut. but the idea of becoming yourself, not just your name, whatever that means.
When you take on something like this, what do you hope to achieve? I mean, obviously you want to tell a good story. You want to write the story that you intended to tell. But it seems like, just in talking to you and even in reading the book, that you had more, there were questions that you wanted to answer that were deeper than that.
Other fish to fry, as they say.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I like to think that there's a there in this book. I mean, there's a lot of exciting stuff. It's a page turner, and we get some great blurbs from people like Ken Burns and Robert Thurman and others. I mean, you know, wonderful endorsements. And they all say similar things, that yes, it's a page turner, but it asks some important questions. Questions about why we're here. I wanted this to be a book about, well, what does it mean to be a human being, and what is that really all about? And not only why the mounds are there, but how that mystery relates not only to why the mounds are there, but why we are here. And that's what this book is all about.
What do you hope people take from it in the sense of understanding of the mounds and what you got from the story and what you hope people will also get from it?
Well, I'm waiting to discover what people will get. I'm sort of discovering things in the book all the time, things that were there consciously and things that I realized, wow, that's so great that that's there, because that's part of Native American culture too. The idea that when this character is propelled back in time and enters into the world of a Native American village, he comes from the ground up through an opening in the sky, in the ground to the sky, which is in many Native American creation stories. So I guess the multifaceted answer: one, an appreciation of who the Nazi were, and there's an afterword in the book which very much says that, you know, like many Native American tribes, like the Nazi, which have not been officially recognized, they weren't recognized, even though there are thousands of them for various reasons, they're in trouble, and any, you know, support people can give to the Nazi is gratefully appreciated, and there's a way that can be done, shown in the book. an appreciation of this amazing culture, and also the relevance of what they have brought, their gift to us, continues to be, what the mound's gift to us continues to be. I'd like people to come away with not only an appreciation for them, but this abiding question, again, of, all right, we're here, we're on this planet, this giant mound that we all inhabit. What's that all about? And there's a clue, several clues in the book that I hope people will dig up, as it were.
So, as I mentioned in the introduction, you have these stories of these two men, and with the help of these two remarkable women, they find the way to save the planet and return home. So tell us about this quartet of people and how you created them and ultimately how they interact with each other.
Okay, I'll try not to get too granular because it can get a little confusing. But in the book, there's a guy from Argonne. You know, the book starts out in Hudson Valley right here, and there'll be places people recognize this. Guy leaves the Hudson Valley, goes after a divorce, goes south, and he's just driving along in the Natchez Trace, which is a real highway, a blue highway, runs from Nashville to Natchez. And he sees a mound site sign, and, you know, there's not much happening on the Natchez Trace, so he pulls off and decides to spend the night on the moon. And long story short, he ends up waking up not on that mound site. Or, yes, he's on the mound site, but in another place, another time, and he's blind. And he hasn't a clue as to why he's there. It turns out he's in the body of a blind Native American, who in turn is in his body in our time. So the quartet is the guy from our time, Salvador Samuels, from the Catskills, is there. He finally kind of figures out kind of where he is and comes to know through the help of Tell Me a Story, this heroic, amazing woman who saves his butt several times. She's actually one of the real heroes of the book. A strong, feisty woman who basically kind of loses her husband to this kind of skinwalker, you might say, who's somebody who's inhabiting the body of her husband. How many women would take that on as a challenge? But she has to help him. She's told by various sources that she's got to help this man, and she does. So that all the many adventures in the past, and he comes to realize why he was sent back there. The guy in our time knows why he's here. Skyfisher is his name, and he's inhabiting the body of Salvador Samuels. He's got to learn our language. And he is befriended by two people in Natchez, Mississippi, a woman named Inez, who very courageously sort of finds this man like a kind of like a found object, because he's singing a song. He ends up at, she's a receptionist in the doctor's office. He comes in, he's brought in various circumstances, and he ends up singing a song that only her grandmother knew the song. Impossible that someone else would know the song, let alone a non-Indian. So she kind of gets her antenna up. She recruits a friend of hers, and they kind of befriend this guy. And so they have many adventures, and he has to convince them that he's, you know, the genuine article. How do you do that? You learn the language, many challenges. And so all kinds of stuff happens to them, including the really interesting thing of having him in the body of a white man, but a Native American who speaks the language, meeting his people who could be his, you know, descendants.
Mm. When you finish a project like this, do you say to yourself, "Oh, I can't wait to write the next book, whatever that may be about," or do you think to yourself, "Oh, okay, I'm good. I never need to do that again"?
Well, the ending begs a reprise.
Yeah.
It's a surprise ending. And in fact, just between you and me and the WAMC tribe listening in, there's been interest in making a movie from this. I don't want to make too much about it, because that and what is it, $3 will get you on the subway. But there has been genuine interest, and not in a movie, but as a Netflix series, believe it or not, which means more than one. And so there would be more. It'd be fun to write the next one because all the setup is at the end of the book. I mean, the book ends. It has a real satisfying ending, but then there's this, ooh, wait a minute, what about that?
Yeah. Well, it's a lot of fun. The new book is Sacred Mounds, a novel by Jim Metzner. And Jim, I'm so glad we got to talk to you about the new book. I congratulate you on it. I wish you all the best, and I thank you for your continued work and being a part of our program.
Joe, thank you. One last little thing, quick thing. Friday, 7 o'clock at the Stone Ridge Library website, people on their Facebook page, we're going to have a reading and live music. People from the Nachi tribe will be there. Hope people can tune in on Facebook Friday night at 7 to enjoy that.
Find out more information about that. Jim Metzner, thank you very much. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC. Coming up next, we expect to hear from New York Governor Andrew Cuomo right after this.